The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a new edition of Vatican Insider on this last weekend in March. Before I look at the news, I urge you to stay tuned afterwards for a special I've prepared in what is normally the interview segment. This week I take you to Loreto, a town on the Adriatic coast of Italy, for a visit to the magnificent shrine of the Holy House of Loreto. The Holy House of Loreto has, in fact, been one of the world's premier shrines dedicated to Mary for over 700 years. According to tradition, the home in which Mary lived, in which the angel Gabriel appeared to her announcing she would become the Mother of God, and the home she shared with Jesus and Joseph, was transported by angels to this Italian hill town overlooking the Adriatic on the night of December 10th, 1294. In this coronavirus era, where so many of us are quarantined at home and spending time with families, you might want to all gather around together and listen to this great story. And now for the top Vatican news stories of the week, a shorter version than usual, and by the way, no time this week for a Q&A. First, a note. Pope Francis continues praying the Angelus on Sundays, holding the weekly General Wednesday audiences, and saying his morning mass at 7 a.m. in the chapel of the Santa Marta residence. But all of these moments take place without the faithful, and they are carried live by Vatican media, including the VaticanNews.va website, and by other television and radio networks, obviously EWTN included. The Angelus and audiences are held in the library of the Apostolic Palace. Now, news highlights in brief. Wednesday, March 5th, Solemnity of the Annunciation at noon Rome time, Pope Francis invited Christians across the world to join him and pray the Our Father amid the global crisis triggered by the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. In this televised and live-streamed event from the Apostolic Palace, Pope Francis said, "Today we have gathered together, all the Christians of the world, to pray together the Our Father, the prayer that Jesus taught us. As trustful children, we turn to the Father. We do it every day, several times a day. But right now, we wish to beg mercy for mankind so sorely tried by the coronavirus pandemic. And we do this together, Christians of every church and community, of every tradition, of every age, language, and nation. We pray for the sick and their families, for healthcare workers, for those who help them, for the authorities, law enforcement agencies and volunteers, for the ministers of our communities. Today, many of us celebrate the incarnation of the Word in the womb of the Virgin Mary, when her humble and total behold reflected the behold of the Son of God. We, too, entrust ourselves with full confidence to the hands of God, and with one heart and one soul we pray." He then prayed the Our Father. On Thursday, March 26th, the Vatican announced that Pope Francis had donated 30 respirators purchased in recent days to the Office of Papal Charities to be given to intensive care units of hospitals in Italy and Spain that are most affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. The bishops of the individual dioceses will hand them over to the hospitals that need them most. The Office of Papal Charities is the department of the Holy See charged with exercising charity to the poor in the name of the Holy Father. Polish Cardinal Konrad Krajewski is currently the apostolic almoner, or the papal almsgiver, in charge of the Office of Papal Charities. "Prayer without charity is not complete," said Cardinal Krajewski, calling on all to donate according to one's means. The purchase of the respirators is a sign that others can make themselves available to others in need. The Cardinal pointed out that a lady without many means gave him 50 hand-sewn masks to be donated to the poor. He said, "It's a simple gesture but of great importance because that's exactly what is needed, small gestures that come from the heart." Friday, March 27th. Faithful across the world joined Pope Francis spiritually in prayer at 6 p.m. Rome time, when he appeared before an empty St. Peter's Square from the Sagrato of the Basilica, the platform at the top of the steps immediately in front of the facade of the church. One of the extraordinary features of this event was that it took place in front of Francis's beloved icon of Salus Populi Romani from St. Mary Major Basilica, and the venerated and miraculous image of Christ crucified from the Church of St. Marcellus that Francis visited on March 15, walking down an empty Via del Corso in Rome to the church. Both images were moved to St. Peter's for Friday's historical Urbi and Orbi blessing by Pope Francis. This historical and extraordinary moment of prayer consisted of readings from the Scriptures, prayers of supplication, and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, concluding with Pope Francis giving the Urbi et Orbi blessing with the possibility of gaining a plenary indulgence for all those who listened to it live through the various forms of communication. The plenary indulgence will also be extended to those who may not be able to participate in the prayer through the media due to illness, but who unite themselves in spiritual communion with the prayer. The Urbi and Orbi blessing to the city of Rome and to the world is normally given only at Christmas and Easter. Also Friday, March 27th, the Vatican announced that Pope Francis will follow a slightly modified schedule this year for Holy Week and Easter liturgies, with all liturgies taking place inside St. Peter's Basilica and without the presence of the public. More details next weekend, Palm Sunday weekend. Now, stay tuned for my special on the Holy House of Loreto.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number, 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
When I begin my prayer time, I always enter into it with the expectation that God wants to teach me something. And it has to start with my willingness to share my heart with God, not just say words at Him. So whether I'm using more formal prayers or a more conversational style of prayer, I have to bring my heart and my life and my real self to God. And by having that dialogue, we're able to enter into a deeper relationship, and He's able to show me how to use all the events of my life to draw closer to Him.
Watch Raymond Arroyo, Father Mitch Pacwa, Mother Angelica, The Daily Mass, and EWTN Nightly News anywhere in the world for free. Cut the cord. Visit EWTNApps.com and start streaming today.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider in what is normally the interview segment. However, because we are in the early months of a special jubilee year dedicated to the Holy House of Loreto, a wondrous shrine in Italy, I want to dedicate this special to that shrine, its history and meaning, a place where hic verbum caro factum est, here the Word was made flesh. Given the very special nature of Lent 2020, dominated by the coronavirus, you might even want to gather the family around to listen to this story. To go back just a bit, on Friday, November 1st, 2019, Mass was celebrated at the Basilica of the Holy House in Loreto, Italy, for the solemn proclamation of the Loretan Jubilee, proclaimed by Pope Francis, a year dedicated to the Holy House. Tradition says it was here, within the walls of this small home, miraculously relocated from Nazareth to Loreto, that Mary received the angel Gabriel's message of the Annunciation. In fact, Nazareth today is home to what the shrine's papal delegate called, quote, the other half of Mary's house. The Holy Year began December 8, 2019, with the opening of the Holy Door by Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin. The year will end on December 10th, 2020, 100 years after Pope Benedict XV on March 24, 1920, named Our Lady of Loreto the patron saint of aviation and those who work in aviation or travel by air. The Pope had also decreed that the Feast of Our Lady of Loreto will also be inscribed in the Roman calendar on the 10th of December. He had visited the shrine on March 25th, Feast of the Annunciation, last year. Now, at this point, I must interject that many beautiful events were planned for the first months of 2020, but the coronavirus outbreak has forced the cancellation or postponement of at least the spring 2020 events. For a century, pilots and travelers have prayed to the Virgin Mary to keep them safe while in the air. Marking this milestone anniversary of the declaration of Our Lady of Loreto as the patron saint of aviation and aviators, Pope Francis in 2019 granted a Loretan Jubilee for all air travelers and for pilgrims who come to the Shrine of the Holy House. In a conversation with Vatican News, Archbishop Fabio Dal Chin, the papal delegate to the shrine, said it was a great opportunity to strengthen the bonds of devotion to the Mother of Heaven. The Archbishop added it's good news because it's not just about members of the Air Force, but all air travelers. Looking back into history, he noted that the veterans of the First World War asked the Pope at the time to obtain special protection from Mary. The first planes at the time were called Flying Churches. And trusting to Our Lady of Loreto, all those who boarded an aircraft was therefore completely natural. We are called to fly high. We are called to holiness, to the fullness of life and happiness that is the holiness offered by the Lord. Several years ago, as part of a series I was writing on shrines in Italy, I visited the Holy House of Loreto. It was my first trip to the Marche region and to this Marian shrine, and it was a never-to-be-forgotten weekend. Pope John Paul once said that the Holy House of Loreto is not an icon of abstract truth, but an event and a mystery, the incarnation of the Word. It is with deep emotion that when entering the revered chapel, one reads the words above the altar, Hic verbum caro factum est, here the Word was made flesh. My last visit was in November 2017 with the Women of Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, as we visited the shrine of the Holy House of Loreto as part of a pilgrimage. Once again, it was a beautiful, almost mystical experience. We had arrived from Assisi to our bus ride just in time for the 8 a.m. Mass, after which we had more than 90 minutes to explore the Basilica and the Holy House and have quiet time for further prayer. We explored in small groups of three or four, admiring the magnificent side chapels and those of the apse, but spending much of our time in Mary's home. At one point, I spotted a Basilica volunteer, and I stopped to ask her where the American chapel was. In wonderful English, she replied, "Come, I'll show you." When we got to the chapel, Kathy, one of our group, was also there, and Sabrina spent the next 15 minutes telling us glorious stories and historic details about the Holy House. We were riveted, and we felt so privileged by her presence. She also showed us several other chapels, in particular the stunning Spanish chapel, before we had to meet our group at 12:30. The Holy House of Loreto has been, in fact, one of the world's premier shrines dedicated to Mary for over 700 years. According to tradition, the home in which Mary lived, in which the angel Gabriel appeared to her, announcing she would become the Mother of God, and the home she shared with Jesus and Joseph, was transported by angels to this Italian hill town overlooking the Adriatic on the night of December 10, 1294. In the 3rd century, Mary's dwelling in Nazareth was already used as a place of worship. The site of the Incarnation then consisted of a grotto, venerated today in the Basilica of the Annunciation in Nazareth, and an adjacent three-walled house over which a synagogue had been built. By the 5th century, a more solid basilica had been constructed, and by the 12th century, it was protected by the majestic Basilica of the Crusades. Tradition says that when the Crusaders, protectors of holy places, were expelled from Palestine in 1291, the safety of the Holy House was in doubt. It was thus transported, and legend says angels had a hand in this, first to Illyria, modern-day Croatia, and then in 1294 to Loreto, a laurel-covered hill in what were then the Papal States. The name Loreto comes, in fact, from the Latin laurus, meaning laurel. The adjective is Loretan. According to Capuchin Father Giuseppe Santarelli, author of numerous books on this shrine, recent findings show that the so-called translation, the move, of the house to Loreto occurred not through angelic ministrations, but through human intervention. A recently discovered document from 1294, in fact, testifies that one Nicefaro Angelo, the ruler of Epiro, gave his daughter, as part of her dowry for her marriage to the son of King Charles of Naples, numerous precious possessions, including, quote, the holy stones carried away from the house of Our Lady, the Virgin Mother of God. Other documents from the same period assert that a 13th century family named Angelo or D'Angeli saved the stones of the Holy House of Nazareth from destruction by Muslims and had them transported to Loreto in the Papal States for safekeeping. Angelo means angel in Italian, and D'Angeli means of the angels. That part of Our Lady's house which can be seen today, the original three stone walls, is encased in a rectangular, ornately sculpted marble enclosure called a screen. This was commissioned by Pope Julius II in the 16th century and built according to a design by Bramante. The western external wall forms the backdrop for the shrine's main altar. The house itself is quite small, about 12 by 28 feet. Today there's an altar where the original house opened onto the grotto. Above the altar is a small statue of Our Lady with child, clothed in the traditional dalmatic. The original 14th century statue, carved from cedar wood from Lebanon and darkened over the centuries by candle smoke, was destroyed by fire in 1921. The current statue was carved from a Lebanese cedar from the Vatican Gardens and was painted to resemble the earlier Madonna, though it is somewhat darker. The three original stone walls are barely 9 feet high. The masonry above them was added at a later date to accommodate a vaulted ceiling to make it more suitable for worship. Archaeological studies have revealed that the house had no foundations and was set high on a public road. Studies have also shown that the stonework is indigenous to Palestine and that the walls bear graffiti, words that are written or etched in stone, similar to writings in Palestine and especially Nazareth. One, for example, bears an inscription in Greek with two words that seem Hebrew, Lamed and Va, that say, O Jesus Christ, Son of God. This same invocation has been found in the Grotto of Conon in Nazareth, alongside the Grotto of the Annunciation. About 60 graffiti have been found, many of which are considered by experts to be similar to those of the Judeo-Christians in the Holy Land, including Nazareth, of ancient times. The technique used for the outer finish of some of the stones is similar to that employed by the Nabataeans and widespread in Palestine at the times of the Romans. Five crosses made of a red material were found walled up among the stones of the Holy House. It is believed they belonged to crusaders or to knights of a military order that defended holy relics. Still visible on the north wall, one of the two longer walls, is the wood lintel where the original door used to be. Today, pilgrims enter and exit by two small doors created in the north and south walls. Entering the Holy House imbues the visitor with an indescribable sensation. When I was there, the silence was deafening. There was a definite feeling of awe, intellectual, physical, and spiritual. Some pilgrims, because of limited space, only a few people enter at a time. Some pilgrims appear to be in a trance. Yet others, like I did, gently finger the markings on the 2,000-year-old walls, or simply lean against them for a time, as if to draw strength, as if to feel the presence of Mary and the Holy Family, as if to draw inspiration for prayer, and, perhaps just once in a lifetime, to say the perfect prayer. These hallowed walls seem like umbilical cords to our past, walls which, if they could talk, would let us hear Mary at prayer, Joseph telling Mary about his work day, Jesus as he cries, talks, or walks for the first time, the Holy Family around a table as they eat their nightly meal, perhaps with a guest. This was a family's home, and so you wonder, were there both tears and laughter? Were there hot, dusty days, cold winter nights, sleepless nights? Did the Holy Family ever wonder where their next meal would come from? What we know for certain is that this was a home filled with love. While millions of pilgrims visit Loreto each year, no one knows precisely how many have come since that December night in 1294. Just as the pilgrims are countless, so too are the miracles and conversions linked to Loreto. Over the years, many thousands of votive offerings have been left by the faithful for graces received, although only a few hundred are actually on display in the magnificently frescoed treasure room. The imposing Basilica of the Holy House was begun in the latter half of the 15th century. Enormous bronze doors set in the Renaissance-style facade welcome us to the interior, which is in the form of a Latin cross with a nave and two aisles. 12 side altars fill the right and left walls. As we reach the Holy House, the basilica widens to reveal 13 stunning chapels built around the north, east, and south sides of the shrine. These chapels were built with the offerings of the faithful, including those from France, Croatia, English-speaking American Catholics, Germany, Poland, Spain, and Switzerland. The artwork, the frescoes, sculptures, marble work, and stained glass windows are of such striking, exquisite beauty as to leave the visitor breathless. Make sure you have an excellent guide or an excellent guidebook. The basilica is at the eastern end of the Piazza della Madonna and offers breathtaking views of the surrounding countryside and the Adriatic. It's flanked by an 18th-century bell tower and 16th to 18th-century buildings that house a museum, administrative offices, and those of the pontifical delegate to the shrine and the Universal Congregation of the Holy House. The latter was founded in 1883 for the purpose of spreading knowledge of and devotion to the Holy House of Loreto. The feast of the Shrine of the Holy House is December 10th. Loreto is a pontifical shrine, has a special juridical status, and is administered by the prelature of the Holy House. The prelate and pontifical delegate today is Archbishop Fabio Dalcin. Pope John Paul visited Loreto three times, 1994, 1995, and 2004. Pope Benedict visited Loreto in 2012 for the first time as Pope, but he had been there on seven previous occasions between 1985 and 2002. In 1985, as Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, he went on pilgrimage with the personnel of the congregation. In 1988, he attended a three-day celebration during the Marian year. In 1991, he was in Loreto for a town twinning between Loreto and Altötting, a favorite Bavarian shrine of this son of Bavaria. In 1994, the Cardinal went on pilgrimage with his personal secretary at the time, Monsignor Joseph Clemens. In 1995, he went for an international Mariological Congress, and in 1999, he went on a private pilgrimage with his brother, Monsignor Georg Ratzinger. His last visit as Cardinal was in November 2002, when he stopped in Loreto as a guest of the then-prelate, Archbishop Angelo Comastri, on his way to give a speech in Ancona. His successor, Pope Francis, as I said earlier, visited Loreto on March 25, 2019. Here's one lovely story I found about the journey of the Holy House of Loreto. Quote, "Now, in more detail, here's the story of the first stage in the journey of the angels who carried the Holy House high above the mountains and deserts of the Holy Land, across the expanse of Mediterranean and Adriatic seas, to Illyria. On May 10, 1291, it quietly set down in the little hamlet of Tirsato in Illyria, now known as Croatia, far from the battle cries of Palestine. It was early in the morning when the local people discovered, to their great surprise, a house resting on the ground. There was no foundation under it. Curious to see what it was, they ventured inside. They found a stone altar. On the altar was a cedar statue of Mother Mary, standing with her divine son in her arms. The infant Jesus had the first two fingers of his right hand extended in a blessing, and with his left hand he held a golden sphere representing the world. Both Mary and Jesus were dressed in robes. Golden crowns were poised on both their heads. The villagers were awestruck but confused until a short time later Our Lady appeared to the local priest and said, 'Know that the house which has been brought up of late to your land is the same in which I was born and brought up. Here, at the Annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel, I conceived the Creator of all things. Here, the Word of the Eternal Father became man. The altar which was brought with this house was consecrated by Peter, Prince of the Apostles. This house has come from Nazareth to your shores by the power of God, of whom nothing is impossible. And now, in order that you may hear testimony of all these things, be healed. Your unexpected and sudden recovery shall confirm the truth of what I have declared to you. The priest, who had suffered for years from an illness, was immediately cured. He promptly told all the people, and word of this gift from God spread throughout the countryside. Pilgrimages began coming immediately to the Holy House of Nazareth in Illyria. God had chosen to bring it to this little village, and the villagers lovingly responded by erecting a modest, quite primitive building over the house to protect it from the elements. However, the joy the Croatians had experienced at having this most precious gift in their midst was short-lived. 3 years and 5 months later, on December 10, 1294, the Holy House disappeared overnight from Croatia, never to return. Saddened by the loss, Nicholas Frangipani, a devout man from Tersato, built a small church, a replica of the Holy House on the hill where the original had stood. And he placed an inscription, quote, "The Holy House of the Blessed Virgin come from Nazareth on the 10th of May in the year 1291 and left on the 10th of December 1294. The people from Croatia continued venerating Our Lady in their replica church. So great was their devotion that Pope Urban V sent the people of Tersato an image of Our Lady in 1367, which was said to have been painted by St. Luke the Evangelist. The people from Tersato, or Fiume as it's also called, grieved over the loss of the Holy House and the image of Our Lady. A Franciscan recalled a group coming across to Loreto from Dalmatia as late as the 16th century. He wrote, "In one particular group there were about 500 pilgrims from Tersato with their priests. They began their procession into the church of the Holy House on their knees, crying and weeping. As they approached the Holy House, they wailed in their own tongue, 'Come back to Fiume, O Mary. Come back to Fiume, O Mary, O Mary.'" If you've been to Loreto, you know the story. If you've never been to Loreto and Italy's on your agenda, make sure you visit this sacred and beautiful shrine.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.